Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.
Now, South Africa's transport system sits at the heart of our economic engine, and it is fair to say under pressure. Problems with rail infrastructure, roads are often unsafe, and there have also been issues with outdated licensing systems. And the sector faces many tough questions. The Minister of Transport, Barbara Creasy, says her department has a bold vision to revive rail, modernize logistics, improve aviation, reduce road deaths, and support a green transport transition. But my question is, this big vision matched by delivery? So I'm joined now by Minister Barbara Creasy. She's just delivered her budget vote speech and has also been addressing the Southern African Transport Conference. So, Minister, a very warm welcome to you. Let's start with aviation. Despite improvements, you've also said too many flight procedures still rely on exemptions and what you term alternative compliance. What's the issue here, and is that just a code for risky workarounds?
Greetings, Jeremy, to you and your listeners. No, I think that what we are in the process of doing at the moment is establishing a project office where we will hire in skills so that we are able to clear out the flight procedure issue once and for all. You know, South Africa has, I think it was 330 flight procedures, many of which have been on the books for a number of years. They are not necessarily needed anymore. But then, of course, there are very important flight procedures that are related to our network airports and also to our smaller airports that are used quite a lot for commercial and tourism purposes. We did manage to avoid a major problem with the main network airports earlier this year, but we still have flight procedures for smaller airports that have to be developed. And this is a complicated technical procedure that involves both drawings and narrative work, and at the moment we have limited capacity to do this ourselves, and that's why we're going to buy in the skills so that all of these flight procedures will either be cancelled because they're not needed anymore or updated, and we can finally say that we've cleaned out the cupboards and everything inside them is in good working order.
Of course, Minister, time is of the essence here. So are you presently buying in those skills, or have you still got to identify the right people?
We already have bought in the skills. There are verification processes that involve the Civil Aviation Authority, which we are currently involved with. And once we have got through that, then obviously we will be able to operationalize the capacity we already have.
Minister, I know this isn't entirely your preserve, but let me ask you a question about South African Airways. Good to see that the carrier is profitable, but surely there are risks when it comes to its new expansion plan, particularly without a strategic equity partner still not in place.
Yes, I mean, I think at the moment we are moving in a modest way to acquire new aircraft. We are also moving in a modest way to enhance the number of routes that we have. Of course, we're not able to engage in the development of an equity partner until we've cleared all of the backlogs with regard to our audits. We still have an outstanding audit for, I think it's the 23-24 financial year. And then, of course, there would be the current financial year. So that is a process that really has to be concluded before we can really look forward. I'm hoping that before the end of July, we will have an AGM where at least one of those audit outcomes can be adopted. So I am confident that we are moving in the right direction, and I'm really pleased that the entity is able to declare a modest profit for the first time since 2012 and also to be embarking, even if it is at a modest rate, on route expansion and aeroplane acquisition.
Minister, are you moving, though, in the right direction when it comes to passenger rail? I think I've got this number right. You said that 35 of 40 corridors are restored. But how reliable and safe are those services right now? Is there data that you're using to back up that claim?
Jeremy, our unaudited passenger journeys for the previous financial year are 77 million. That's almost double what they were the year before. But I think the real issue that we are currently confronting is the signaling. Because until we have all of these lines with complete signaling, we're not able to increase the number of trains that we're running per hour because we're still using manual signaling and we obviously want to avoid an accident. So we're very pleased that in the medium term we've been given money by National Treasury, money that we will receive over the next 3 years, starting this year, so that we can re-establish signalling. And once we do that, it's going to dramatically increase the number of passengers that we're able to carry and obviously the number of passenger journeys per year.
And allied to that, your announcement of ambitious freight rail reforms and also open access to the network, all well and good. But private players will say that they still face red tape and this legacy of dysfunction. Why, Minister, should they trust the process right now? What's different?
Well, I think that our country is involved in a very significant process of rail reform. And in fact, this is the rail reforms that have been carried out by virtually every major rail line in the world, whether you're talking about China, Russia, India, the EU or North America, Mexico, all of these rail companies have set about a situation where they have separated out their freight operators from their network infrastructure manager. And that is something that we're doing. We've made a call in January for new operators from the private sector who will carry freight on the Transnet railway lines. What we've now just concluded is the request for information for private sector investment in our five key rail corridors, which obviously still means that the infrastructure will remain state-owned, but we might engage in investment agreements that could look something like the SANRAL toll concessions. I'm just using that as an example to give an idea. Of course, rail reform is it's a huge process. It's very complicated. It takes time. We are latecomers to this process. Most of the world introduced these changes 20, 30 years ago. We have the benefit of learning from experience in other countries, and that's why we're setting up the private sector participation unit. We are also setting up the economic regulator so that we are able to have rules that will govern the process, but also open to have a level and transparent playing field.
Minister Barbara Creasy, thank you very much.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.